Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today in the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, as I'm sure you all are aware of, is Steve Jobs and the impact that he left not only during his years here with different companies and building companies, but also what he's left behind has been miraculous as well. And one of the quotes from Steve I absolutely love is, "Sometimes when you innovate, you make mistakes. It's best to admit them quickly and get on with improving your other innovations." You know, I kind of call this life wisdom from Steve. And, you know, thankfully we have a lot of these quotes and as well as many books written about Steve. And I believe I've read almost every one of them. I find something unique, something inspirational or aspirational whenever I read these books. And found that, you know, his life was so impactful and unique, it's hard to wrap your arms around all that he accomplished in such a short period of time. And what I found is, you know, success is never accomplished alone, you know, but rather through others who execute the leader's vision. And that's one thing I hear a lot of different things from people in regards to Steve and his accomplishments. And some people say that he didn't treat people exactly the way he should have, but he drove people hard. And, you know, I found that to be one where he had a vision and he wanted A players on his team. And when he had a C or a D player, somebody that couldn't help the rest of the team. And I think that's key to when you look at Steve's life is he was looking for team members that collectively as a team, everybody pulled their weight. And if they didn't, that's where Steve can be a little abrupt. But Steve had a special knack for seeing the future. And he's definitely, you know, I talk about generational brands in the Visionary Brand, my new book, The Visionary Brand, the success formula behind the world's greatest visionary brands. You know, I find that there's so few visionaries. And just because you, and I talk about this in the book as well, and I think it's a great analogy, just because you have vision doesn't mean you're a visionary. And many people have that aspiration to say they want to be a visionary, but just because they can see doesn't mean they're a visionary. So he kind of had this special knack of seeing the future and what could be, but not what was yet. So, you know, few leaders over the last several, let's say centuries, have had this type of intuition. Again, I talk about generational brands, being able to count those in my right hand. You know, I talk specifically on consumer products. Obviously, there's a lot of different generational brands, but a lot of them have broken up. A lot of them have gone bankrupt. And what I find is that there's a commonality between generational brands and visionary leaders is that they all have a vision and they stick to that vision through thick and thin. And I think that's where the kind of this is say the rubber hits the road is that a visionary has a vision, but if it's constantly changing, it gets blurred. And by blurring your vision, you also are blurring your messaging to those team members, those inside the company, as well as shareholders. And I think that's what people were so inspired by with Steve. And you can tell by his death how it impacted so many people as well. So, you know, vision is driven by visionaries. It's, you know, something that a lot of people would like to have, but very few actually do have. Those who can see what others cannot. You know, those who are committed to realizing their vision through others and can see it through. And again, when you're building your team and you have a vision, one thing I'll take away from Steve on building your team is that, again, you want A players. And if you've got, let's say, 10 people on your team and 6 are A, 3 are C, and 1's D, well, what do you think is going to disrupt? And I often talk about orchestration of brands. And I talk to brands when I talk with the leaders of brands with Liquid Mind, I talk about this orchestration. And many times leader ask me, well, what do you mean orchestration? It means put the people in the right spots to do the right job. I mean, that seems very simplistic, but what happens many times is, and I'll use the analogy of, you know, if somebody on the trombone doesn't know how to play the trombone, it doesn't matter. The rest of the orchestra could be A-plus players. But if you've got a D player on the trombone, guess what comes through? And so you got to think of it the same way from a team perspective on how you build your team and how you execute your vision, because your vision's only as good as those who can execute that vision. So you got to be committed to realizing that vision through others and those that can help you see it through. Seeing it through is easier said than done, you know, because you're gonna be facing many barriers and failures around that path to, let's say, disrupting. And that's really what Steve's intent was to disrupt categories, was to completely change the way things were done. And Steve would ask a lot of questions about why a product was made this way or why it operates this way. And I think that's something that, along with the team and understanding how to build a great visionary brand, visionary team, one that can help you see it through, but also asking questions. You know, as a team, I'm a huge believer, and we do focus strategies around ideation and called dreaming with Liquid Mind and the brands we work with. It's basically just shutting it down, getting everybody out of the room and saying, hey, let's just dream about what we want to do, and then we'll figure out how we're going to do it. And that involves team members, it involves resources, it involves marketing, it involves product, it involves everything. But that's a great way of looking at it, is that many people look at it from the standpoint of, well, how, geez, I don't know how to disrupt. Well, it's a process. And I'll go through in a minute Steve's process of how he went through disrupting and building these great generational products. So again, this is what Steve was consistently looking to achieve. Was disruption, but also sophistication. Can you imagine the two ends of the spectrum there, is that you want to disrupt, but yet be sophisticated and simple? And he was able to do that through disruptive products, services, processes, technologies. And it's really something, when people look at it, they're very single-minded. They just want to have a disruptive product, but they understand the disruptive products may be complicated. But you can't have a disruptive product and give it to a consumer and have it be complicated. And we'll talk about that with Steve, what he thought as well. He said, hey, if you got to read the instruction manual, it's too difficult. You know, so you have to make sure that it is a simple sophistication. And I talk about that with few words and how you're positioning your brand. And it's very much, you know, positioning your brand is understanding what you stand for. And you know, BMW has always been one that's come to my mind as the ultimate driving machine. Three words kind of spells out what that brand does, and it's a beautiful positioning statement. I just love it. You know, and others out, you know, I say generational, and for centuries, you know, visionaries are few and far between. You know, Michelangelo was also a great visionary. If you get a chance, you know, read up on Michelangelo. The guy was unbelievable visionary. So I think Steve was also an advocate of things that Michelangelo had done as well. So a lot of things that Steve had done were built around a vision that he had and having a passion around being able to execute on that vision with the best team, the best products, the best process, but also with the end consumer in mind. And when you're building your great products, one thing to take away from Steve and all of these principles is also understand a great product, a great visionary disruptive product changes the way people do things. The iPhone, the iPad, all of these different products that Steve had created, we still use today, and they're indispensable. And I don't think anybody can dispute that. That, you know, look at what people have. Apple has this ecosystem. And that's really when Steve invented the iPod. It wasn't the iPod. It was the ecosystem that he was building that was the real vision. And so when he built that, he obviously built the Apple iTunes store and everything else that was going on inside of Apple in order to build that vision. So looking at this, Steve really created this ecosystem that was today is obviously still driving Apple to be the most valuable brand in the world. And I think almost all of us have an Apple product. So when we look at it, you know, so how did Steve manage to keep this disruptive, innovative product line, you know, flowing for generations? And, you know, as a result, you know, most of us use these products every day and they're indispensable, but you know, how did he create all of these products? And you know, the interesting thing was when you look at Steve, he kind of had this method to his genius and followed a fairly consistent process every single time that he did these generational products. And so when you look at these, I've got a few points here that I'll go through and I'll discuss these. And I think they're very important, each and every one of them. You know, one was pure focus. He called it pure focus. You know, identify your core customers and simplify your product mix. And focus is really a key word around being a visionary. Ensure that you don't get distracted. You know, the opposite of focus is getting distracted. And you want to make sure that you identify who your customer is so you can understand how they're going to use your product. So simplify your product mix as well. And simple sophistication is number two. We talked about it. If you have to read the owner's manual, it's too difficult. And three is own the vision. You know, take firsthand responsibility for commercializing the vision. And many times people misinterpret this as Steve being hard on other people. It was just that he embraced with all his heart and soul and passion his vision. And he wanted to take responsibility for it. When you see all the movies and everything with Steve, guess who was always in the room with the engineers? It was always Steve. He wasn't this pinnacle tower guy that ran Apple, was never down talking with the common people. He was always down there and he owned the vision. The number four is breakaway products. You know, when you're behind in innovation, leapfrog. Don't just jump, leapfrog over your competition with a disruptive product or process. You know, that's key to having long-term generational success, is making sure that you've got that ability to break away with products. So the fifth is innovation before profit. You know, understanding that the product drives revenue and customer loyalty to a brand. And you want to make sure that you, what I call surfing this innovation pipeline. And that doesn't always have to be that case, but you have to understand, in order for you to drive revenue, you have to have a point of difference. And your point of difference is relative to either having a disruptive product, one that people are loyal to, and then one that people can trust. But guess what? You have to invest. And investment means that investment to innovate sometimes means sacrificing profit. So maybe a temporary thing, but something that is necessary in order for you to leapfrog over your competition. The next is ownership. And you'll find this also with Steve as well. He gave ownership to the team, you know, but understand the why you're doing it is the key thing. What Steve would always say is that, you know, I'm fine with other people taking ownership of commercializing a product, but I'm going to make sure I rubber stamp everything that goes into that product and that the vision is executed before somebody else says it is. Because when lowered expectations with a team member that doesn't understand a common vision of the entire company or brand, it's a sacrifice to the product. And as a result, it isn't a great user experience that you had envisioned. So ownership. The next one really is Steve in particular. It's the reality distortion. Everybody talks about it. What does it mean? It's a, you know, bending reality wherever possible and convincing others of the future. And this is something that Steve was notorious for, and I loved it. And what you'll find is almost every visionary had this. I'll use Henry Ford as an example. When they were going to do the 8-cylinder engine, the engineer said, it's impossible. You can't do an 8-cylinder engine. And Henry Ford said, yes, we're going to do it. And they kept coming back time after time after time, spending millions and millions of dollars. And Henry Ford said, you need to do it. The vision is an 8-cylinder engine. And eventually, after many times of coaxing and many meetings with Henry Ford, they were able to do it miraculously. So he was bending reality. It couldn't have been done. Nobody saw the vision of what he saw. And the same thing with Steve. So you have to bend reality at times. The other one is perception is reality. You know, ensure that all the details are working out. And part of the overall product presentation, you know, first impressions and experiences are everything. So when I say ensuring all the details are working out in the overall product presentation, meaning that when you open an iPhone, How many of you have actually thrown away the box or have you kept it? Go look in your closet. I'm sure you probably have every generation of iPhone you've ever purchased. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Perception is reality. You haven't even seen the product yet, but the presentation is everything. It's beautiful and it's consistent and it's authentic. So first impression and experiences are everything. The next is perfection. And I use the word perfection from the standpoint to say, stop cutting corners. You know, packaging is important. You know, when we've seen so many brands, and brands that I work with today on Liquid Mind and brands that I've worked with before, there is something that they're going to cut the corner on. The hang tag, the buttons, the packaging, whatever it happens to be. I say perfection. It's a great word to throw out there to the team because I do it with the brands, again, we work with, is that what do you consider perfection? Okay, we're building this great and commercializing this great product. What would you say is perfection? Well, I think it's a product that operates this way. Wait. So who's going to be using the product? Number one. Number two, how are they going to use the product? And number three, how is it going to be presented to the customer before they purchase the product? So these are all questions that have nothing to do with functionality. They have to do with the presentation. So perfection is, hey, look at the details before you commercialize your product. And the next one is not necessarily only to Steve, but not a lot of people think about it. Is he always said A plus only, no B players allowed. You know, to achieve perfection, those who understand how to complete it should be on the team. Those that don't should not be on the team. And it's not the, to the drag of, hey, I'm just a C player. I'm an average player. I get by. Well, that's not good enough when you're looking at executing a vision that's going to disrupt the industry. If that's the case, make sure you've got A plus players, no B players allowed. And one big thing for Steve, and I think we lose sight of it a lot in the world we live in today, is that no emails. Face-to-face is always the best way to bring that vision to reality. So you want to make sure that whatever you do, you're bringing that vision to reality in face-to-face meetings. And I think we can all agree when there's a crucial decision to be made, maybe a product that needs to be commercialized, guess what? Face-to-face is always the best way to bring that vision to reality. And the next one is, which I love, and it's on product teams, and we don't get enough blending of this, is bring in the misfits. You know, those who are creative, not technical, and can provide the insight for simple sophistication are the ones that you want on your team. So that's a key piece to making sure that there's a blending of personalities. There's poets, they call it, I think Steve called it. There's poets. There's artists. There's engineers, there's everybody together, but everybody collectively together is working on a common vision, but bring in the misfits. And the last one I say with Steve, which is my favorite, is stay hungry, stay foolish. Always be looking for the next generation, you know, the next disruption. Stay ahead of the curve wherever you can. You know, these principles that I talk about with Steve are timeless principles, you know, and everyone can take some part in these to build a better brand, a more passionate culture, and also insanely great products. Everybody can build insanely great products if you have a process and you stick to your vision. You know, so take the time to commit to the vision and don't compromise. You know, this is not what great brands do. So thanks again for listening to me on the Visionary Chronicles. I look forward to our next podcast. And as I say, stay true, stay authentic, be different, and be great. I want to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles podcast today. Always appreciate your time. I know how busy everyone is these days, but I wanted to also let you know if you have any comments or anything that you would like to let me know about, I would certainly appreciate it. I get a lot of emails from people listening to the podcast. You can reach out to me at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at liquidmindsite.com, liquidmindsite.com, Facebook at Brian Smeltzer 33. Also Instagram, Brian underscore Smeltzer, and Twitter at Brian Smeltzer. So anything you would have comments, would appreciate you subscribing to the Visionary Chronicles. We would certainly appreciate it. We were also voted recently through FeedSpot top 70 marketing podcast globally, as well as top visionary podcast. So very proud of that as well. So again, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Look forward to the next Visionary Chronicles.